And good morning. All right. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew, the last two verses of Matthew. We'll get there eventually. And if you want to look at the second passage and put a marker in there, we'll be in Hebrews 10 after that. So Matthew 28 and Hebrews 10 this morning. Next week, we'll be getting back to our study of James. But for this week, I wanted to take a little bit of a special emphasis as we think about the church making a schedule change. It might be an opportunity for us to think about an important distinction about church. And here's the distinction. Is there a difference between going to church and being the church? Do we go to church, or are we the church? So just kind of keep those two questions rattling around this morning as we begin our thinking. Going to church or being the church, which do we do? This past week, if you followed any news at all, the news was, is the tornadoes, obviously, and a big concern and need there. But what was the other news that seemed to just dominate the media? A wedding somewhere across the pond, yeah. And so Prince William and Kate Middleton got married where? At a church, Westminster Abbey. And just to quote Prince William's private secretary, Jamie Lowther Pinkerton, said the couple chose the 1,000-year-old abbey in central London because despite its size, it holds 2,200 people. It has a sense of intimacy. Okay. We understand they chose a building that would best create the environment and accommodate the people for their wedding. So their understanding, I'm guessing, of what a church is a building, a place where you can do things like have weddings. And indeed, that's a good thing, I think. It's fine not to have it at church, but it's great to have it at a church building. Europeans, Americans especially, have weddings in buildings that normally are places of worship. So a church for some people is a building. Another meaning of church is that church is a service you go to. And by that, it's kind of like it occupies that hour or two, generally on Sunday, where I go and there are certain benefits I receive, certain ways I participate, and it's this slice of my week that I regard in some way to be important. Easter Sunday especially, usually there's a spike in attendance at churches on Easter because it's a, you know, traditionally or culturally, or maybe even spiritually, it seems to be a holier day. And so we perceive of church as a service. So what's a church? Is it a building? Is it a service? When you think of the term scripturally, it just can't be a building because it's about 300 years into the church age before they even had buildings that were specially made for housing church functions. So we know that it's not really a building. And so whether it's this kind of building or that, they're similar, but that's not the concept of a church. That would be going to a church, but we're thinking of it as a building. But that's not the concept scripturally. So is it a service? Well, indeed, as one of the passages we look at today, getting together on a regular weekly basis is a biblical church function. But you see, it's more than just this time. We are a church even when we aren't at church, right? Are we going to church or are we the church? Going to church is where we start. Being the church is our goal. This summer, some of the things about going to church are changing. So for 3 months, you know, kind of changing, shuffling something, So going to church will change. Does being the church change? I think not. We continue to be the church. Certain things about going to church are actually going to be missing, which makes us a bit uncomfortable, makes me a bit uncomfortable, actually. Because we've always you know, done it that way. It'd be like, you know, your regular restaurant, suddenly they took your two favorite things off the menu. You go, well, so what's the point now? Well, the point is that we're not a restaurant. And that perhaps God would even use this time in a special way to help us focus on being the church. So then we have to understand, so what biblically really is a church? This is a bit of a review, I'm sure, for most of you. Church in the New Testament, first of all, there's this concept of a universal church. You won't find the phrase universal church in the Bible, but it's an expression we use for the biblical term, the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ is a great expression. The body is a metaphor where Christ said, I'm going to make you part of me. In a real spiritual sense, you are part of me just as much as fingers are a part of your body, an integral part. Together, we are the body of Christ. And then that would be all believers in Christ until He returns. And so the concept then is that the body of Christ, this is what we studied in Ephesians, just last year? The church, which is His body, in Him, Christ, you too become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. That helps us to understand when the church began. There was no church in the Old Testament. There were people of God who worshiped God, but this idea of being joined in Christ is a New Testament concept, and it started, Christ said, I will build my church, but it hadn't happened yet, because that was before the cross. After the cross, He said, I'm going to send you my Spirit, and the Spirit came, and it's the Spirit indwelling each of us together, which unites us into a single unit. Ephesians 3:6, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body. That was unique, because now the racial, cultural differences disappeared in light of the fact that we were joined through what? The gospel. That's what makes a church a church. It's because we have a common faith in Christ that He alone is our Savior from sin. And so we are united in the body. So that's the universal church. What is the local church then? You see, the universal church is essentially invisible. It never meets until that event we talked about last week, the rapture and resurrection. Then the church is going to all be together. Everybody from this age, living and dead believers, given new bodies together forever in heaven. But down here, it's invisible except for the local franchises. It's those who are part of the body of Christ who actually meet and relate together in a local area. Corporates in heaven, Christ. He is establishing local franchises all over the place. And it's not about the place on LL. It's about the people who choose to be part of this local fellowship. And so we are the church, Open Door Bible Church, a particular unit or segment of the body that is the body on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, throughout the week. We are always the body of Christ. And here's the other unique thing is that we are to be organized to do God's will. You see, it's not just that we all get together because we could be a garden club or Kiwanis club or something else that we have in common that we like to do. Is it just that we like to do church? And so we're one more club in the community because we like this kind of a thing. No, it's actually that we have a divine assignment from God to accomplish His purposes on earth. What Christ wants to get done, He gets done through us. The church. And that's an individual / corporate thing that we do. And so we've tried to define our purpose as, and we kind of narrowed it down to glorifying God through reaching people with the gospel, building them in their faith, and involving them in God's plan, RBI. So that is the assignment that we've been given by God, and so we try to organize around that. So when we have a ministry program, if you will, what we do here on Sunday morning, what we normally do in ABFs, what we do in Awana, what we do in Bible studies and other organized parts of the church, is to try to accomplish that purpose. It's why we even have chosen to have a constitution, which defines kind of how we are going to be organized leadership-wise and function-wise and decision-making-wise. The command of Scripture is to do things decently and in order, and so then we have a way that we are trying to do that. So the organization of a church is attempting to help us be the organism that God designed the church. But sometimes, I think many times, we can become dependent upon the organization or the programs of the church to accomplish the purpose of the church instead of seeing it as something we do personally. And we become dependent upon the program. And that was one of the things that we were thinking about as we thought, you know, do we shake the bushes? Because we have enough people. We could fill these Sunday school positions, for example, and we could have the regular program. Or should we perhaps, as Seth said, step back this time and see if God would work among us to awaken the personal aspect instead of the program aspect, so that when we come back to the program aspect, we would see the personal part of it. Does that make sense? And so it's a little bit like the difference between eating out and cooking at home. You can go to your restaurant, sit down, and it's all taken care of for you. They'll even wash the dishes. That's probably why we go, you know. But there's a value to cooking at home and eating at home and being part of the process. I'm pretty dependent upon the program of cooking the way it works at our house, because I do oatmeal, eggs, toast. If I watch it, I'm okay on. So, you know, so I'm real dependent on that. If I'm going to become a cook, though, I would have to work at it. I would have to, you know, figure this recipe stuff out. And if we're going to be the church, we need to personally, you know, cook up ministry and see that that's what God's told us to do. Now, as a corporate church, we're going to try to provide some of the resources and encouragement, you know, the recipes, the ingredients in some cases. But it's seeing that we have a personal responsibility in being the church. So what does it mean to be the church? Let's think through two passages, starting here in Matthew, and kind of seeing the RBI flow through there. Though we're not going to focus on those three terms. We're just going to look at these passages. What did Jesus tell the church to do? He was speaking here at the after the resurrection, but before he ascended, and says, guys, to his disciples, this is what I want you to be doing in the next age. And we are in that age still. All authority, verse 18, has been given. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, here it is, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them, I think that's one way we make disciples, bringing them to identify then with Christ. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So the basic command is go and make disciples. That implies we go with what? The message of Christ. Go with the good news, the gospel, that Christ alone, by his death on the cross, has paid the entire penalty for our sin, and we must personally, each person is responsible to respond in faith and say, I believe in Christ alone as my payment for sin. And so there is this responsibility to get that message out to all the nations. All the nations. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, there's ways we do that corporately, isn't it? About $1 out of $5 that you put in the plate goes towards world missions to get that gospel out. There. We did that. We talked recently about personally connecting with missionaries. This summer, we have a great opportunity to do that. Never in the history of Open Door Bible Church since I've been here have we had so many future missionaries or soon-to-be missionaries or new missionaries as we have right now. This summer, most of them are going to be right here in this area. And we can personally connect with them. So I'm challenging you to get to know some of the future and new missionaries from Open Door Bible Church this summer. I don't think anybody in this service, I think spouses were back last week, but Rhett and Stacy, Bill and Elizabeth, Naomi, James and Rose, Rob and Ariel, and then Nikki's not going to be here this summer, but Nikki's going to be with us starting this fall and through the school year. She's taking us a year at Waukesha as she kind of goes into another level of her involvement with New Tribes Mission. Do you know these people? They need to be connected to the church. What does that mean? That means us. And so we have to, as individual people, connect with them. And so find out who they are, pick one. If you never heard of any of them, come to the church and say, we'd like to have one of them over. Have them meet them at Culver's for ice cream, something, to connect with them. And so that when they think of their home church, your face comes to mind. All the nations. America is a nation. In fact, America is a nation very far away from where Jesus said these words. And the gospel made it from there over to here. All the nations. So, how are we going to make disciples? There are things that we always do as a church. We have services and we, you know, have programs and invite your friends. But so how are we personally, not the program, personally going to reach the nation? Well, I can't reach the whole, okay. How about, can you name the four people who live closest to you, just in your own mind? Take just a moment. Can you come up with names of the four closest neighbors to your place of dwelling? Thank you. Chris is going to tell us the four closest ones. Okay? Where are you at in praying for reaching them? The first step might be just to say hi more regularly. You know, sometimes we don't even want to say hi. Sometimes we think, oh, that's going to be a long conversation. And so we kind of just keep our head down, you know. Sometimes we're in a conversation and don't want to know what to say next. Take interest in them. Just take interest in them. It could be that it's time to do something more than that, that instead of you going fishing, you go fishing with them if they like fishing. Don't take them fishing if they don't like fishing, okay? Cookout, it might be time to invite them to something. If they have spiritual needs, they don't quite understand this wonderful thing about Christ. Maybe it's inviting them to an ice cream social. Maybe it's to the corn roast. Maybe it's to a church service. Maybe it's Saturday night. Just say, hey, come with me on Saturday night. Maybe you're ready to have a Bible study with them. Maybe you'd love to have a Bible study in your home, but you know you're not teaching it. We actually talked about this idea quite a bit at our board retreat in March. If you have an interest in hosting a study, you're the key person because you know the four neighbors. If you just need a teacher, would you talk to us? And that's something that we'd love to shake the bushes for. How are we reaching our nation? Baptizing? What a great opportunity. We're going to have a baptism and at the ice cream social. It's a nice informal time out here. Come and watch. Come and participate if you're interested. Teaching them to do everything I've commanded you. Teaching. Do we teach? Yeah, I mean, that's what we do here in sermon time is teach. And boy, we got all the Bible studies, men's and women's and Awana. All those are going to pause for the summer, the program teaching. Well, obviously, then that command doesn't apply to us. That's kind of a 9-month command, right? No, it's not. It's a year-round to teach and to learn. So some of the ideas that are on there, the sheet that you can pick up back there or on the written banner, some things like Seth mentioned, be your child's Sunday school teacher. If you had 6 or 10 of those times on a Sunday morning with your younger children, imagine the memory that they would have of the importance of the Word of God, maybe more than even Sunday school. What if you took your family, something we tried last year, last fall, because we've got teens and young adults in our family, we all get together at Harrington Beach and had kind of an all-day family day and doing all kinds of games and fun stuff. And then was it an hour we took where everybody took a Bible and then everybody just disappeared. Just go out throughout the park and spend time with God somehow, whatever that means for you. And, it was cool to kind of hear what God would do. Maybe there's something like that you'd do even on a Sunday morning before or after the service. Sunday school, ABF. Your kids might miss Sunday school. Ever thought of having the Sunday school over or organizing something with the parents or doing something with, if you got a daughter with the girls or talking to your ABF leader about ways you could connect this summer, spending time yourself with God, teaching yourself, taking 3 hours to go out to a favorite place, spending an hour and a half on the deck instead of a minute and a half reading the devotional, you know? Make a special time each week teaching. Turn to Hebrews 10. Verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. How are we going to do that? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. A reference to the fact that this age of the church is going to end. You know what? We saw that last week. Rapture, resurrection, the church is going to end. So as you see that it's getting closer, do more of this. Spur, verse 24, spur one another on to love and good deeds. I have the word spur there. What are some other words in other Bible translations that we have here today that you have besides spur? Anything else? Stimulate? Motivate? Encourage? Does anybody have provoke? That's another translation. It's, provoke and spur kind of sound negative. It's actually accurate. It's a word that means to irritate, okay? So we're supposed to irritate one, not really, but the idea is, really though, when you use a spur on a horse, it doesn't damage them. It encourages them past their comfort zone, right? Go faster. We are to push each other in a good, challenging way to love and good deeds. So you think of your best friends here. Because to spur one another, you got to kind of know and trust each other. Who can you grab and say, you know what? Instead of us just having a great time with coffee or whatever, what can we do that would push us past the comfort zones to serve, particularly this summer? And it's not just about this summer, obviously. These are body principles that are year-round, lifelong. In the family, outside the family, reaching out together. One of the ideas that were on the banner there is contact Milwaukee Rescue Mission. There's a website and so forth. Click volunteer. They've got needs. Good organization, good purposes. Get somebody and do it. Let us not, verse 25, give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Pastors kind of like this verse, kind of backs you up, on the church attendance thing. Let us not, but it's, take it serious. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. In a sense, he's saying we shouldn't have to decide whether we want to be together with the body. Well, I don't know if we do. That's a going to church mentality. That's a restaurant mentality. Am I hungry for that today? That's that mentality. You never have to decide, well, am I going to go home for a night? You never decide, well, shall I eat something today? Because see, those are natural decisions already made because it's home, it's hunger, it's part of who you are. Meeting together. Why do we meet together? We kind of spell it out in the welcome class material as we meet together for teaching, worship, and fellowship. Teaching, you know, this kind of time, or ABS or Sunday school, teaching the Word of God. We got to learn the Word of God. Now, really, why do we have to meet together to do that? I mean, especially in the age of the internet, that's probably why they wrote that. You know, they didn't have the internet yet. That's why they said we should get together for teaching. Because on the internet, I mean, you can get teaching from, I mean, all your favorite communicators of the Word of God. And you can get the DVDs and watch them. It's like you're right there and you can put your surround sound on them, you know. It'd be perfect. In fact, if you want to get the sermon here, you can do that on Monday or Tuesday. Just go to the website. Why in the world are we bothering to get together? There is something about learning the Word of God together specifically meant for us. Do you find yourself, as you grow in maturity, while you're listening perhaps in this time together, if it's something that's important to you, something that you have already learned, do you find yourself praying for others, going, ah, yeah, that truth. There's some people I really care about in this room. I'm so glad they can hear this. Do you find yourself doing that? Start praying for others? Teaching together. Specific. That's why even in Awana, you know, get three kids together and you're teaching them one verse they just memorized and applying it to them. What a privilege. That's a teaching together thing. Worship. Why do this? You can get your favorite songs. I got them on my iPod. And so I like this artist, but you know, all except for a couple songs. So I get to that certain song, I just go skip. It's out of there, you know. I don't have to listen to that song. And frankly, that's good. I love good Christian music, and it helps me to worship, because when I'm alone with God with music, it's me and God. So why do we do this? Because this is we and God. And so it's speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, Ephesians 5. But now it's me. Just like when we're teaching, we might pray for someone else. The question we ask as we begin the song is, do I know the song? Do I like this song? But rather it's, who are the people that this is going to minister to? So that it's we. And so we're singing for them and with them to Him. Fellowship. Love fellowship. Who are the people, you know, you just notice the people you're most connected to? With growth and a sense of the understanding of the body, you begin to think, who are the people that need connected? It's a different question, because that connection is how the last part of the verse happens. But let us encourage one another. If you were to draw encourage one another using arrows, how many arrows would you use? How many points would be on the arrow? Two, right? It's a two-way street. Encourage one another. Encourage one another is not a top-down thing. The pastors, the leaders, arrow going down like this. It's an encourage one another. You have to be connected to encourage one another. So how is that for you? Let's picture connecting in the church. If this circle is a church, there are some who are more connected and some who are less connected. Dotted line means, you know, I don't, you know, where exactly are you, in what sense, or whatever. So, yeah, there's... Where do you see yourself? More connected or not so connected? Passages like this, a sermon like this, a chart like this, would kind of tend to make the person who's less connected going, okay, yeah. So I need to kind of be a little more connected. But the other question is not that, but rather those of us who are more connected, how can I reach out to those so that they would be others who would be then more connected? So one question is, are you connected in the church? But the other question is, am I helping others to connect? Because encouragement, this encourage one another, comes from being connected. I was talking to somebody out of state this week who is looking for a new church. And so they visited a church on Easter Sunday. Church believes the same as ours here and a little smaller. So I said, how'd it go? Were the people friendly? Yeah. The people were friendly to each other from a first-time visitor's perspective. In fact, said they practically crawled over us to get to their friends. And we even went to the Easter breakfast and for a while sat there alone. And then three ladies who know each other came and talked to us and we had a good conversation. See, it just gives you a different perspective as you think of the body. Do we know how to connect to one another? Because we're a very disparate group, you could say, very different, you know, from this and that. And it's not even so much racial or Jew-Gentile. We're all Gentiles pretty much. Do we know how to connect? And one of the purposes of the welcome class is to become connected, and one of the best ways, easiest sometimes, is connect to other people who are also new. It's kind of like the connections aren't all filled up. But you see, when you are connected, it's harder to notice those who aren't, and when you aren't connected, it's harder to connect because it seems like everybody already is. But encouragement comes through connections. It's as simple sometimes as a couple of questions. If you're going to ask somebody here at church that you didn't know them, you've not really met them yet, or you forgot that you did, which is okay too. What's one question you could ask them? Okay, real simple, a non-threatening question. How are you? Boy, that can be loaded though, you know. Okay, that's a good one. How are you? Another one. Where are you from? It's non-threatening. Yeah, I mean, you're from a town somewhere, or out in the country, whatever. What else? What's your name? Okay. How about, how long have you been coming to Open Door? And you might hear a number in the 30s, or, hey, this is my first time, and they look the same to you, don't they? If you haven't met them before. Doesn't matter. And just start a connection. Because connected people are encouraged people. So as we come to this summer, just want to challenge you to encourage someone where you are the one taking the initiative. In here. In your family. In your immediate family. Is there someone that God's put in your heart? You know what? We live in the same house. And I wouldn't say that I've been an encouragement to that person recently. But I want to encourage one another. And then in the world. Family, church, and the outside world. Someone you work with, around, customer, whatever it is. How can I be an encouragement? Because encouraged people, encouragers are encouraged people. And that's the path towards being the church and not just going to one. Let's pray together and prepare for our time of communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for establishing the church, sending your Son to die for our sins so that we could be connected to you through Christ, and then that you established this mystery of the church that connects us together to one another forever. Help us to
spur one another on to love and good deeds. In Jesus' name, amen.